Welcome to Three Steps Forward, a podcast designed to help us grow as Jews, just a few steps at a time. In each episode, we will meet one interesting and thoughtful person with one or two pieces of useful advice to give. Our goal is to be both spiritually ambitious and humble. We really believe that we can accomplish great things if we take it just a few steps at a time.
I am here very, very delighted to be able to spend a few minutes with Rabbi David Cohen, an international speaker and author of two books, not one. I would say one book is very impressive, but two books is really, really, really impressive.
You haven't read them yet.
Rabbi Cohen, first of all, thank you so much for your time. So nice of you. I really, really appreciate it.
Sure, pleasure.
Can I just ask you, you speak to people about inspiration. You are, I think I've seen you both from near and afar. I would say you are an inspired Jew. This seems very legit to me. I know it's like a big topic, but
I try.
I just want to ask you, here I am. I think it's really important to be inspired. We all want to be inspired Jews, meaning we don't just want to be going through the motions. I think we want to be really living and excited about it. And I'm wondering if you have like a tip, something, a tool, something practical to tell someone, how can they excite themselves about Judaism? How can they find inspiration for themselves in themselves?
I think it's a phenomenal question. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak with you and to share my thoughts. I think that everybody is this is not a chiddush, this is not a novel concept, but everybody is unique. Everybody's different. Different strokes for different folks is a maxim, a dictum that I was exposed to by a mentor of mine. And I think people have to really get to know themselves, and they have to get to know other people. And they have to be able to kind of expose yourself to a lot of people, talk to people, listen to Torah ideas, content from people, and see what resonates with you, what speaks to you. Right? Not everybody is going to speak to every person. But I have found in my experience that when I identify people that speak to me, that whether it's their life experience, whether it's the way they approach concepts that resonate with me and I identify with them, that gets me excited about my Judaism. Like, there are certain personalities that I've been blessed to be exposed to that have basically, like, they've awakened, you know, they've awakened my soul. And then I think once you identify kind of what your source of inspiration is, then you gotta go back to the well. You gotta keep going back. And I find that it actually, it changes a lot over time, because we change and we evolve. As we become more spiritually inclined and attuned, we need to graduate sometimes from some of those people or some of those personalities or some of that content and move on to, and what's next. I found, like, if I think back over the last 30 years of spiritual growth, I was at different phases and different stages of my life in each of those periods, and there really were different people that became mentors to me at different stages. And I think the goal for every growing thinking Jew is to always be developing and evolving. I once, if I can share one idea of Torah.
Please, absolutely.
I once heard a beautiful idea, right? We know that the Jewish people at Mount Sinai, when they received the Torah, so they famously proclaimed Na'aseh v'nishma, that we will do and we will listen. And I once heard the name of Rav Nachman Mibreslov, that he explained that Nasa means what you're doing right now. Whatever level of observance, whatever part of the Torah, whatever mitzvah, maybe it's charity, maybe it's being a good person, chesed, kindness, whatever study of Torah, whatever mitzvah resonates with you, that's your Nasa. But there's something called Nishma, right? The Jewish people said, we will do and we will listen and learn afterwards. So Rabbi Nachman said, Nishma really means it's something that I aspire toward and yearn for and crave spiritually, but I'm not there yet. I'm not really able to access it yet. And all of life is about converting nishmas into nases and then developing a new nishma. Not to rest on your laurels, but it's like a process, a progression. And we've all observed, I think, many people who have had a metamorphosis in their spiritual growth and have progressed from starting with baby steps and they're, you know, fully engaged Jews today. And that happens over time, that happens from exposure, that happens from being able to kind of access Jewish content and personalities and people. And we all need, you know, we all get along with a little help from our friends. We all need that support. We call a chavruta, like a partner, people that we can learn from. And we're blessed that we live in a world today where everything's accessible. You can access Torah from around the world, from a myriad of different personalities. And there's, I can't think of a better time in Jewish history. We happen to be at a conference now. There's an ArtScroll booth. I mean, ArtScroll has galvanized Jewish learning with their translations. And there's really so much that maybe at one time was obtuse or was not really accessible.
Yeah.
And now there's really no excuse. Really now anybody, no matter what level they may be on, they can. And I think the most important thing to say, I'll end with this, is, you know, never give up. I know somebody very close to me. He started the Daf Yomi cycle, like the studying of the Talmud in 7.5 years. He is 80 years old today, and he began his first cycle when he was 76 in this most recent cycle. And he loves it, and he's very committed to it. And for years he was afraid of it, or he was intimidated by it, or he had excuses why it wasn't for him. And now it's really what energizes him and gives him the chiyus, gives him that... You know, it gives him, and it gives, not only does it give him energy spiritually, it gives him what we call like a chevershaft. It gives him like it gives him a community. It gives him a tzibor, because he goes to a lecture with a group of other men, and they study together, and they, when they finish a tractate, they celebrate together. So Torah is beautiful, and studying it in depth is beautiful, but also studying it with others and experiencing Har Sinai, experiencing kind of reenacting and reaccepting Torah, is something that you know, never give up. And no matter what level you find yourself on, I think there's always opportunity to grow. And you have, if this is for your community, you have a wonderful rabbi and Rabbi Sprung, who I've begun to get to know.
I didn't even pay him for this. It's amazing.
I think you could, you know, you have to tap in to the resource that you have, in particular the special resource who comes from a very distinguished rabbinic family and distinguished Yichlis lineage. So I encourage you to tap into the resource that you have, him and his Rebbetzin. And I wish everybody success on this eternal journey that we're all traversing. And we continue to until the redemption arrives.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Fabulous. Can I ask you one follow-up?
Sure.
First of all, I love that Rabbi Nachman piece. I've never heard that before. I love that.
Courtesy of Moshe Weinberger.
So, you know, one thing that you mentioned is that in life we go through different phases, and something that can animate me in one part of my life might change. I change. So I have a friend who sort of, I think, broke up with his Rebbe, so to speak. You know, he entered into a very different phase of his life, and it actually, I think, made him profoundly sad to lose this person as a mentor, not because of anything bad that happened, but just because that's not who he is anymore. He needed something different. He needs someone different and new. And I'm wondering if, A, that's something you've ever experienced. Have you ever felt sad to lose that sense of connection, mentorship, guidance from that person who used to be there? And if you have, how do you deal with that? You know, is it something that should make you sad? What is that feeling?
Very complicated. I mean, this opens up a much broader discussion, which is obviously not for now, in terms of emotional well-being and health and mental health and kind of what we're trying to replace or fill sometimes with rabbinic mentors and role models and people that we always have to kind of check ourselves in terms of, like, what is it about these, like, you know, a lot of times these are like, they take on roles that are larger than life, which can be unhealthy. So that's just a caveat.
Yeah.
But I can say that I have had this experience. I was fortunate at a certain period of my life to learn in a very special yeshiva. And I became very close with the Rosh Yeshiva and very attached to him, and as many in that yeshiva did. And then it wasn't that I had evolved or graduated from this particular personality, and I have done that with personalities. This was more that there was just a vast distance between us. I had moved back to America. He was in Israel. He wasn't somebody who could email easily or get on the phone easily. He had like a whole, like, you know, sometimes like very wealthy people have like a whole entourage of people you got to get through to get to them. So he had, in the spiritual world, there's also that.
Okay, yeah.
And
yeah,
it just became like a little bit frustrating to kind of like, I know a lot of people who are in this space who give guidance, and they have too many students, and they can't give individual guidance in perpetuity to every student. And there is kind of a construct or a concept that, you know, you learn the basics from them, you learn the principles, and then you should be able to kind of go out on your own mm-hmm. and always think back. You could have, like, there's a concept in the Torah called, you know, demus diyukno shel aviv nires lo b'chalon, right? That ultimately Yosef HaTzadik was saved from an aveira, from a terrible iniquity, when he was down in Mitzrayim, because mm-hmm. he saw an image of his father. So one can kind of, this is a concept also, it's related to parenting and also psychology in terms of individuation from parents, but you can kind of have a Rebbe without physically having the Rebbe, but at the same time, there is kind of a sadness. Anytime you have a special relationship and you kind of, you know, you lose that, you know, that Rebbe, part of the reason why we love that person is because they make us feel special. And part of, you know, it's not, I don't think it's always like the loss of the wisdom, because you know the wisdom, you had, mm-hmm. you know the advice, you probably could project what that person would say to you in a particular instant, but I think it's that feeling of like closeness or specialness or yeah. being close to a great person that we long for, that we miss, or we can have, you know, negative feelings about. It's like any relationship in life that was meaningful to us and you know, we don't have anymore. So it's a complex topic in discussion, but I just want to say about it.
Projected sequel. Okay. Rabbi David Cohen, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time, and for all of Rabbi Cohen's many Houston friends, don't miss this episode. And for everyone else, you should also become Rabbi Cohen's friend. Don't miss his podcast, don't miss his books. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking 3 steps forward with me. I hope you will decide to subscribe and even join us in Shul for our in-person workshops. There is a wide and bright horizon ahead. Please review our podcast, and if you learned something new, share it with a friend. More episodes are on the way.